So, Easter Day, what a glorious day indeed. And I was thinking about punctuation, actually. I don't know why I was thinking about punctuation, but I thought I'd think about punctuation. Anybody like punctuation? Anybody really keen at looking at everything written down or written in shop windows that has the wrong punctuation on it? Anybody good at doing that? Yeah, my dad, he would be obsessed with checking punctuation, every single thing that was around. And you'd often see potatoes spelt with an apostrophe S. Have you seen that? Now, some of you are thinking, well, that's how it's done, isn't it? Well, I need to tell you, no, that's not how it's done. It's P-O-T-O-E-S. Yeah, that's right, yeah. I'm getting confused as well. But all over the place, you see bad punctuation. And maybe you've been looking hard at the sheet, the song sheet you've got, to see if Tom has put the right punctuation in the right places on that one. Some of them, you'll notice, there's no punctuation on any of them because we couldn't decide where the punctuation should go. So better to leave it out, isn't it? Every teacher would tell you that, wouldn't you? Yeah, if in doubt, leave it out. Okay, so I want to give you a bit of a test today. I want you just to chat to the person next to you or somebody around you and decide where should the punctuation go on this particular phrase, okay? And here's the phrase. Let's eat grandma. Have a chat to the person near you. Where should we put punctuation on a phrase like that? Okay, I never realized there was so much punctuation in a sentence of three words, but anyway. So, anybody not want any punctuation in that phrase? Yeah, well, you don't want to eat grandma. That would be awful if you ate grandma. That would be terrible. So, any suggestions? The first bit of punctuation should be where? Between the T and the S? Yep, okay. So, let apostrophe S, okay. Where would you like the next one? After eat, what would you like? A comma? Everybody agree? A comma after eat? Yep. And then the final bit of punctuation? What would you like? Full stop? Anybody got anything different? Question mark? Yeah, could be a question mark, yeah. Could be a exclamation mark. Could be any of them, couldn't it, really? Well, so I want to teach you a little bit about punctuation in terms of demonstrating it. In fact, I'm just going to turn this off a minute while I do this. In fact, it's called Kung Fu punctuation, okay? Okay, so I want to teach you Kung Fu punctuation, okay? So, are you ready for this? No? Okay, so, full stop is ha! Okay? Right, put down what you're holding, please. Because you can't take part if you're holding anything, okay? No, we weren't, and please don't punch the person in front of you, will you? Okay, so make sure you're right, okay? You ready? So a full stop is, ha! Bit more aggression on this one, come on. Ready? Ha! Well, that is pretty good. Okay, let's go with a question mark, shall we? Okay, so question mark is, she, ha! Okay? Okay, you ready for this one? Question mark is she, ha. We've got to have a bit more feeling. You're so polite. You can't do kung fu like this. She, ha. You can't do it like that, okay? Are you ready? Question mark. She, ha. That's very good indeed. Somebody's shouting way at the back there. A great ha at the end, whoever that was. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, so what else we got? So we got a comma is just she. She. So you've had some practice on this already, haven't you? What else we got? We got an exclamation mark, which is she-ha! She-ha! Can we get it start a bit higher? I mean, with your voice, not with your arm. She-ha! Okay, that is brilliant. And the last one is the semicolon. Okay. Some of you are looking, what's a semicolon? A semicolon is ha, she. Ha, she. Okay, because it's a dot and a comma, yeah? So that's, yeah. Are we okay with that? Should we just go through them? Full stop, ha. Question mark? She. Ha! What do we have next? Comma. She. Okay. Exclamation mark. She. Ha! Semicolon. Ha! She. Very good indeed. Well, that's amazing. I'm sorry we can't turn the camera around on you to show everybody at home, everybody, because we probably don't have permission to show all of you on the TV, so apologies to that. But hopefully those of you at home have been trying that and not put your hand through the glass door that is near you. But just hang on to those things a moment as we think about the Easter story. Because all I want to do is look at one phrase in the story that we read earlier from Matthew chapter 28. And actually this one phrase is crucial to our understanding of the whole story of Easter and what comes next. And the difference that Easter makes in our lives as well. Because if we don't get the punctuation right on this particular phrase in the story, it makes all the difference to how we're going to value the story or live out the story as well in our every single day. Now, clearly, when the resurrection first happened, the people around that story at that time, they were pretty confused about all that was happening. Yeah, we just read in our story in Matthew chapter 28 that Mary and Mary were afraid. Of course they were afraid. I mean, this type of thing hadn't happened before. It wasn't meant to happen, was it? I mean, in their experience of life, 100% of people who died didn't come back to life. So why would they go to the tomb expecting anything different? We read that the guards were so afraid they fell down dead, looking like dead men. You know, they were so scared of this because they hadn't appreciated what this story meant for them as well. And then we read a little bit later in the story, in the four accounts that we've got, we read about the disciples who were behind a locked door who thought Jesus was a ghost. We read about Thomas who couldn't believe that Jesus was alive even though the other disciples assured him that he was. We read about two of Jesus' followers who were walking away from Jerusalem that day and because they'd given up hope that what Jesus had said was ever going to happen. They couldn't believe it for themselves. So many people had a different reaction. The guards, in fact, if you read on in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 28, you'll see that the guards were paid money to tell a different story of the outcome. They had to say that the body had been stolen and they were given money for it because they wanted to suppress the truth. Yeah, the Roman authorities wanted to suppress the truth of what had happened. They were fearful of it. And you know what? The same thing can happen to all of us, whether we're how young we are, how old we are. You know, that we can struggle to get to the end of this story. And where we put the punctuation mark actually is really important in our lives, in how we will respond to it. Because here's the phrase I want us to think about. He is not here. He is not here. And I want to suggest this morning that what punctuation mark you put after that will determine your own response to what has happened on that particular day. The body isn't there. He is not here. So, what does that mean? What does that mean for you and me? What does it mean in how we respond to that knowledge that the body isn't in the tomb? So, let's put a full stop after that. Those words, shall we? Okay, are you ready? You ready? Put your sheets down. Come on. You've given up already with this. Come on, we've only just started. Okay, are you ready? He is not here. Ha! Full stop. The story's ended here. That is it. There's nothing more to say in this story. It's just as simple as that. He is not here. It was a great ride for 3 years while Jesus was on earth. We can read his stories. We can see what he did for the people there. We read fantastic teaching. I mean, nobody's ever taught like Jesus taught. And it's all there for us. And we come to this place of saying, You are awake, aren't you? Because every time I say this, you're going to have to do something, okay? Don't give up yet. We come to the end of the story by saying, he is not here. Ha! That's it. We might as well go home. Because all the promises Jesus made and all the hope that was around has ended here. And I'm guessing there may be people here on the car park or those of you at home who, for you, that is the end of the story. You've not taken a moment to think about what happens next. And it's just that it's Easter. He's not here. It was a great life, but that is the end of it. You know, Jesus would say to people, you know, you've got to make up your mind about this. You know, you've got to think about all that I've done. And I want to say to any of you, don't let a full stop be the end of your story this Easter. Don't let it finish there, because there's much more to learn and much more to discover. You know, people wanted to make excuses why the body wasn't there. Some said the body had been stolen, like the guards. That's what they were told to say. Some said, you know, you've made the wrong tomb. You've gone to the wrong tomb, you know. Of course he's in a tomb somewhere. But please, don't make a full stop the end of your Easter. So what if we put you ready? A question mark. She, ha! I love that the adults are joining in and the kids have given up already, but that's how it goes often. Yeah, I understand that. Okay, so what if you put a question mark? She, ha! Got to keep awake today. Every time I say a punctuation, then you need to do it. Okay. What if it's a question mark? You got one up on me then. Well done. Only a few of you. What if it is that punctuation symbol? What if it is that one? What if you are asking a question? Because there are many people who have questions about this, and that's a really good place to be. So if he isn't here, then where is he? Would be my question. What's happened? The tomb is empty, so how can I explain that? And if it's empty, what difference does that make to my life going on into the future? A question mark is a great place to be in your search for perhaps even the meaning of life, which many people are still searching for. Perhaps in the confusion of the current circumstances we find ourselves in, wondering what this life is all about, there's a question mark that is a good place to be for you today. Because Jesus constantly wanted to throw questions back to people. He would say to people, who do you say I am? You know, halfway through his ministry, his time here on earth, that was his question to his followers. Come on, you've been with me so long, so who do you say I am? Have you come to a conclusion yet about who I am? And maybe there are some of you here who have wondered about Jesus, and maybe you've learned about Jesus when you were a kid, you know, and you're still learning, but you left it there. And the question mark is still there. If this is true, what does it mean for me? What is the answer to this question? Because if he's not in the tomb, he's got to be somewhere. And Christians believe that he's alive. He's alive. So what about an exclamation mark? Shee-ha! Very good. You're getting better and better at this. What if it is just a moment of surprise for us, an exclamation mark, or a moment of wonder for us? What if we could move from the asking the question to being filled with wonder? We may still not know the answer, but actually we're ready for something new to happen. And I wonder about Mary and Mary at the tomb. They must have been wondering, if he's not here, wow, just imagine what the answer to this question could be. Could it really be true that Jesus did actually come alive again, just as he'd said? I can imagine them thinking through all the things that Jesus told them about what would happen, and they're beginning to think about, is this actually true? There's a wonder to it. You know, I wonder about lots of things. Do you ever wonder about things? I mean, how do planes stay in the sky? Do you ever wonder about that when you're 30,000 feet up? I always do. I think it's impossible for this plane to be up here, but here it is. It's there. I wonder why weeds come to my garden and to nobody else's garden. Why is that? They're always there. I mean, what? There's lots to wonder about, isn't there? Why does toast always fall butter side down on the floor just after somebody else has cleaned the floor and it's like, oh, no, I've done it again. Do you often wonder? You know, life has to cause us to wonder, doesn't it? The wonder of it is that we engage with it and we try and find a solution. I hope and pray that you will be caused to wonder about Jesus, if you're not quite sure about the end of this story, at least allow that wonder, that imagination to think, do you know what? Maybe this is true. Maybe it is true. Well, what if you had a comma? She. Oh, come on, come on. What if you had a comma? She. Very good indeed. Well, a comma breaks up two different parts of the same sentence, doesn't it? And used properly, a comma make the meaning of sentences clear by grouping and separating words and phrases and clauses. So a comma says there's something more to come. This sentence isn't finished yet. There's something more to come. If we're not sure about where the sentence is going, the next bit can give us a clue about what is going to happen next. It says to us, this sentence hasn't been completed yet. There's a comma there. And I think a comma... I'm going to let you off now, okay? So he is risen, comma. It's saying to us, you know what? There is something else. There's another bit of this story to come. There's another part of this sentence that hasn't quite been completed yet. And I wonder what that is. See, I think the disciples were living with that comma. Just do a little one, that's fine, yeah. Thomas was living with that comma. Unless I see it for myself. He's not here. Okay, but I need something else. The eating of the broiled fish. It's beautiful. If you don't know where the broiled fish is in this story, then read the four accounts of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll come across the broiled fish. It's like, this is quite weird, isn't it? That here's Jesus, dead, now eating a piece of fish. What's that got to tell me about Jesus? See, when there's a comma, then there's something else to come. And maybe for you today, maybe there is a comma. We haven't got a full stop. Ha! We haven't got a question mark. She, she. Ha! We haven't got a exclamation mark. She, ha! We've got a she, a comma. And you're in a great place to think about what the next bit of this story is. That you haven't given up hope of finding something. And if you've been wrestling with this for a long time in your life, don't give up. Don't give up with trying to find the answer. There is an answer. And you'll find it at Easter with the story of Jesus and his death and his resurrection. But what punctuation mark is in the text? Have you noticed? Now show me show me what's in the text. She, a semicolon. I'm not sure we ever knew what semicolons were when I was at school. I don't even know if I know now what a semicolon is. But the main task of a semicolon is to mark a break that is stronger than a comma, but not as final as a full stop. There, that's education for free in our Easter Sunday service. It's stronger than a comma, but not as final as a full stop. And the resurrection of Jesus, yes, there's something more to come, but it's stronger than that. And yes, it's not a full stop, because it says he has risen. He is not here. Ha! She! Come on. He is not here. Ha! She! He is risen. There's another part to this story that is for us to understand the truth of what's happening today. It's so closely linked because one has to follow the other. The body isn't in the tomb, so where is it? Well, Jesus is alive. And that's the truth that we can take hold of today and every single day. And it transforms how we view life, how we live life, how we approach decision making, how we approach looking after our kids and training our kids, looking after people, living, working in every environment. It transforms how we do that because he is risen. And Jesus died so that we might live as well. That his death and resurrection gives us hope of a future, not only now, but also to come as well. He has conquered the one thing that all of us will wonder if we could ever do anything about. But he's done it. Because he is not here. Ha! He is risen. And I pray that you will know that as a truth today. Look, if you've put a full stop to that sentence in your life, can I urge you to maybe just erase that full stop and give that sentence a chance? Maybe you've got a question mark, and I would urge you to find out a bit more. And there's people around here, and please, if you're online, just send us an email, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. We'd love to help you on the next stage of that journey to answer your questions. Or maybe at the moment you've got a little comma there and you're not quite sure. You know, being a follower of Jesus has just become a bit of a thing. You know, you'd say you're a Christian. Absolutely. No disrespect to that. But, you know there's more. There's something more to come. Or maybe today you're happy to put the other punctuation, that semicolon there. Because you know the end of this story. He is not here. He is risen. May you find that for yourself. So whether you know that and you've known that for 50, 60, 70 years, or whether you're still searching, today is the day to declare it again, to acknowledge that Jesus is alive and to continue to build our lives upon that truth. I pray that you'll do it. I pray that you'll declare it. I pray that you'll live it out to know your next step based on the truth of who he is.